okay, we're holding on Pesachim Daf Nun Tet or the top of Nun Tet Amud Aleph V'tana Kikusha, right? So there was an explicit Breita taught in the opposite way, meaning the Breita was taught addressing our exact question, and their Maskana was the opposite. Tamid Korom L'Ketoret, you bring the Tamid before the Ketoret, Ketoret Korom L'Nerot, and then you bring the Ketoret before the Nerot, V'Nerot Korom L'Pesach, and then you bring the Nerot before you bring the Korom Pesach. Yuchar Davar Shneim Arbo Be'erev Ben Arbaim, L'Davar Shneim Arbo Ela Ben Arbaim Bilvad, right? Because you have to... You put the things that only say Ben Arbaim before the things that say both Erev and Ben Arbaim with the Korban Pesach. V'achtiv Oto, wait, isn't there that mute that we quoted earlier by Oto that would indicate to you to do the menorah later than even the Korban Pesach, as we said in the previous da'af? Hi, Oto, mi ba'yil l'mutei avodah shebifnim. No, that mute of Oto, which in yesterday's da'af we used to suggest that the Nerot can be brought after the Korban Pesach is needed. It's needed to exclude an avoda shebifnim, right? A type of avoda that isn't done on the mizbeach outside, that it can still be done later. Umay nihu ktoret, and what is that avoda? That's the ktoret. Tzal kedai tachamina. You may have thought to say hoyil v'chtiv ba'alot aron etaner ben arba'im nyakti rena ema nadlik nero bereisha v'hadar nakti ktoret. You may have thought to say that since it's written that Aaron lights the nerot in the afternoon, and then you burn it, meaning, and then you burn the ktoret, that seemingly you should light the candles first, and then you bring the ktoret. Mi'at Rahmana Oto. In which case, for that reason, the Torah brings this mute of Oto to indicate to you that the ktoret is done first in that manner. Ella ben harbaim yaktirena lamali. In which case, what do we do with that? What do we do with that pasuk of Ben Harbaim Yakti Rena, which seems to indicate that the ketoret is burned after the nerot are lit? Hachikama Rahmana, this is what the Torah uses it for. Be'idan demadleket nerot de'em ekteret ketoret. Right at the time that you're lighting the nerot, the ketoret should already be burning. Tan Rabbanan. We taught in a bright day, lechadavar shekodem letamei shel shachar. Nothing comes before the tamei shel shachar. Ela ketoret bilvad, except for the burning of the ketoret. Shneemar ba boker, which about the burning of the ketoret says morning, morning. V'yakdim ketoret devar shneemar ba boker, lechtiv v'ktir alav devar shneemar ba boker, lechtiv v'ktir alav aron ketoret samim ba boker, ledavar shlo neemar bo ela boker echad. And something that's written boker boker should be brought like the ketoret should be done before something that's only written boker once, like the tamid shel shachar. Ve'en lechadavar shemitakev achar tamid shel ben arba'im elektor v'neiro de pesach. And the only three things that are ma'akev that you are allowed to do after the last of the korbanot of the korban tamid shel ben arba'im are the ketor, the neiro, and the pesach. Mechusar kipurim be'erva pesach. And similarly, someone who's mechusar kipurim, someone who is on the final day of waiting before he can become tahor and has to bring a korban. On Erev Pesach, so that he can eat, I mean, someone who's Tameh, Erev Pesach, and Erev Pesach is his last day of Tumah, and he needs to be Tahor in order so that he can eat the Korban Pesach, right? So he has to bring a Korban on that day, and he's allowed to bring that Korban after the Korban Shel Bein Arbaim, Shetov Al Shedid V'Ochel Pesachol Erev, because he goes to the Mikvah the second time, and then he eats his Korban Pesach that evening, but first he has to bring the Korban for his Tumah. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka Omer Ach Mechusar Kippurim Nisharim Motashana. It's not just on Erev Pesach, even the Mechusar Kippurim, all other days of the year, you can still bring your Korban after the time of Shel Ben Arabayim, Shtovel V'Ochel Kodshim Le'erev, right, who needs to eat Kodshim that evening, right, so he's allowed to bring his Korban after the Korban Shel Ben Arabayim is brought year-round, not just on Erev Pesach. Bishlam L'Tanakama, I understand the Tanakama Shita, Yavo Aseh De'Pesach V'Sheyesh Bo Karet, V'Yitchei Aseh De'Ashlama, She'en Bo Karet, because, understandably, if you need to bring your Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach, the consumption of the Korban Pesach is a mitzvah aseh mideoraita, and there's karet for it, so that's going to be push off the mitzvah aseh to have the Korban Shel Ben Arbaim being the last of your korbanot, right? So in theory, the Korban Shel Ben Arbaim is supposed to be the last of the korbanot, except for here you have this mitzvah aseh of Korban Pesach that has karet with it, so we're going to say, okay, you can bring that after the Korban Shel Ben Arbaim. However, this mitzvah aseh of just bringing the Korban to bring make you tahor, why does that push off the mitzvah aseh of finishing with the korban shel ben arba'im? Why year round are you allowed to be doche that instruction to have the korban shel ben arba'im be the last of your korbanot? El Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan Broka, my ulme dahai aseh mehai aseh. Why does one mitzvah aseh take precedence over the other? Amar Ravina, Amar Rav Chizda, hacha bechatat of askinan. Because we're talking about chatat of, we're talking about an animal offering that only the blood gets slaughtered and gets thrown in the mizbeach. However, the slaughtering is not done to a bird on the mizbeach itself, so it's not considered like a vodah is being done on the mizbeach, and it doesn't count as something being brought on the mizbeach after the korban shel ben arba'im. Rav Papa amar afil tema bechadat behema. You can even say, according to Rav Papa, that we're talking about the korban chatat of a behema, and not just an animal, not just a bird. The behema is slaughtered on the mizbeach, and still year round you're allowed to bring that after the korban shel ben arba'im. Malo melina barosh shel mizbeach. Why? Because it's not slaughtered there; it's just put there and left there overnight. That is the avoda that's done. Right? You just put the korban there overnight. We don't actually slaughter it there, in which case it doesn't violate the principle of doing the korban shel ben arba'im last. The ha'ika asham. But wait, isn't there the asham of the mitzora that is brought and slaughtered on the korban after the korban shel ben arba'im? Bishlama al Rav Papa, it makes sense according to Rav Papa. Hainu de melin law, right? So according to Rav Papa's answer, which is you gotta just put it on the mizbeach and not slaughter it, then I can say the same about the korban asham that the mitzora brings, that you bring it on the korban, you bring it on the mizbeach and you just don't slaughter it and everything's fine, and so the korban shel ben arba'im is still left. Ella Rav Chizda, Michael Memer, but according to Rav Chizda, who holds that we were just talking about a bird sacrifice, which the blood is put on the mizbeach, it's not slaughter the mizbeach, okay, but the asham the mitzora brings is definitely brought on the mizbeach. So what would he say to that case? Because he can't use the out of we're not actually slaughtering it, we're like the bird, we're not actually slaughtering it. Here you're most definitely actually slaughtering it, and so that would come after the korban shel ben arba'im. Amri shikarav ashamo. So the Breite is talking about a case where his korban was already slaughtered, as opposed to a case where an asham still needs to, where a mitzora still needs to bring his korban. We're not talking about a case where the korban still needs to be brought. Aha ika ola, but isn't there still the korban ola the mitzora has to bring? V'chitema ola lo me'akva. And if you wanted to say that the korban ola that the mitzora has to bring is not me'akev, right? So yeah, he needs to bring it, but it's not me'akev. And so it can be pushed off. Tana din milon ner baiter Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel b'Yochanan ben Broka Omer k'shem shechato v'shomu makvin oto kach olato makvato. Right, that just like the korban chatat and the korban asham of a mitzora is me'akev and absolutely must be brought, and he cannot he can't eat kodshim without having brought it. So too, his ola offering that he needs to bring as well, he cannot eat kodshim until he does that. V'chitema b'shekarva olato. And if you want to say that the Breita, there too, we're talking about in a case where his ola was already brought. Umi karva olato kolam lachatat rishon. Would his korban ola be brought before his korban chatat? But the Tava Tanya, didn't we learn in the Breita, v'ikriv et asher lachatat l'rishona. Right? That you brought the korban chatat first. Ma tamid lomar. Why exactly, what exactly is that pasuk coming to teach us that says rishona by korban chatat? Imi lamed shtei korban ola harei. Kvar ne'emar v'tasheni yaseh ulak mishpat. Right? If you're teaching me that the korban chatat is brought by the korban, is brought before the korban ola, it's already said, it already says that, right? The korban ola is done second after the korban chatat. Ela ze bane av l'kol chatat. Rather, we teach in that pasuk a binyan av, a general rule for all of the Torah that that when it comes to a korban chatat, you kodmo l'kol ola about imahen. Right? That anytime you have a korban ola and a korban chatat, you have to bring the korban chatat first, and only afterward you bring the korban ola. The kamilanda afilu chatat ha'ov kodemet l'ola behema. Right? And so in all cases of a chatat, even a chatat ha'of, you have to bring before the ola. In which case, that we cannot be talking about a case where the ola is already brought, and yet you have this instance where the korban ola must be brought, and you already brought the korban shel ben arba'im. So here we have another case that we left out where you have to bring a korban after you bring the korban shel ben arba'im. Amar Rava Shani Ola Mitzora. Well, yeah, okay, that's true. But the Ola of Mitzora, the korban Ola that Mitzora has to bring, is different than all of the cases that we talked about. Why? Derachmana Amar Ve'ela Hakohen Et HaOla She'ela Kvar. Right? So because in this instance, the Torah says explicitly that the Kohen brings the Ola, and we interpret that pasuk of Ve'ela Hakohen Et HaOla, that the Kohen had brought up the Ola, not that the Kohen will bring and must bring up the Ola now, rather the Kohen already brought up the Ola. Why is the pasuk teaching me that in the place where you expect that the pasuk is teaching me to bring a Korban Ola, it's actually saying that the Kohen already brought up the Korban Ola. What's with that weird language? It's to tell you that here specifically, as opposed to the rest of the places in the Torah, the Korban Ola comes first before the Korban Chatat. In which case, or the Korban Ola was already brought before the Korban Chatat, and the Korban Chatat that we're talking about here, which is the Mechusar Kippurim, is the Korban, is an oaf, is a bird, which is not sacrificed on the Mizbeach. So here you have the Ola is already brought, and the Korban Chatat is an oaf, in which case there's nothing done on the Mizbeach after the Ben Arbaim, after the Korban Shel Ben Arbaim. Amr Le, Rav Shemin Bar Abba Le, Rav Papa. Ledidach da Amar Ma'ala Umalina Barosh Shel Mizbeach. Okay, challenges Rav Papa Shita, according to your Shita, who says that you're, that you just put the Korban on the Mizbeach, but you don't actually burn it up there that night. Are we going to jeopardize the Kohanim in this way? We're going to have them do something that may cause them to make a mistake. They're going to see this korban there, and they think that they may need to burn it up. But they may think that this is an offering brought earlier that day, and they're going to burn it up, as opposed to an offering that was brought that night and should not be burnt. Amar lei Kohanim zuzunim. No, we don't. We're less concerned about tripping up the Kohanim. They're very careful, and they're going to do the right thing. Right, even if it's a tricky situation, we don't assume that they're going to make a mistake here. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kana, Rav Ashi le Rav Kana, Amri la Rav Huna bre de Rav Natan le Rav Papa. Veha kama de lo miktare emurin kohanin lo matzah ach lebasar. But as long as, 1 second, how are we just leaving it up there? If you haven't burnt up the meat yet, the kohanim are not allowed to eat from the meat sacrifice that day. You may have thought that Kohanim were allowed to eat the chaz v'shok, right? The parts of the animal that they were offered on the Mizbeach before the excess limbs were burnt up. Therefore, the Torah taught us that the Kohen burnt up the forbidden fats on the Mizbeach. And only afterward it says that the breast should be for Aaron and his sons. Meaning, once you burn up the forbidden fats and the leftover limbs and everything, that's when you're allowed to partake in the eating. Right? And as long as the Kohanim have not eaten the meat, balim lo mitkapri, the owners of the korbanot haven't been atoned yet. Right? They eat them, the things that the owners were forgiven through them. Right? And so we learn from there that the Kohanim need to eat them, and then the Baalim have the full kapara. Since we have no other choice, since you're not allowed to burn these things up because it's too late in the day to burn them up, you have no other choice. So we relate to those limbs that have not yet been burned up as if they were korbanot which became tame or were lost. And what do we do with korbanot that became tamei or lost? You may have thought that that if a korban became tamei afterward, or if they were lost, then the kohanim would not be able to eat from the food of the korban tamad lomar ve'achazel aron ovanav mikol makom. And therefore, we taught that when we said that the breast of the korban should be for Aaron and his children, we taught that with no exceptions. In which case, we understand in all instances, in all cases, they're allowed to eat from them, right? And in which case, even though the korban was tamei, in which case. They're no longer burnt up on the Mizbeach afterward, the excess fats, v'chule, or if it was lost, so it's certainly not going to be burnt up on the Mizbeach, still, Aaron and his sons are allowed to eat them, in which case, we treat this korban, which cannot be burnt up after it's slaughtered because it's too late in the day and after the korban ben arbayim, so too, Aaron and his sons are still allowed to eat it, even though you're not burning it up afterward. Rav Kana Rami, so Rav Kana actually poses a contradiction between two psukim. You're not allowed to leave over the fats overnight until morning. Ad boker hu delo yalin, meaning until morning you're not allowed to leave it there. Hakol laila kula yalin. However, but that would seem to indicate that all night it can be left there, just can't be there by morning. Uchtiv, but it's also written v'ikder aleha chalve hashlamim, right? That you burn up the chalve hashlamim aleha heshleim kol korban kulam, right? And so upon it you have to finish up all of your korbano. That indicates that nothing is supposed to be burnt after the korban shlomim is burnt. But here we see a different pasuk that says that things can be burnt up all night. Hu motivavu mafarakla. He posed the question and he answered, kishe ni tocheru. we're talking about burning the fats that were brought from korbanot that were brought before the tamid. Right? The tamid shabbat arayim is the last thing brought, right? In which case, you might think that nothing should be burnt up afterward. But we have a different pasuk that says that no, things are burnt up afterward. In fact, you can burn them up all night. Yeah, you can burn them up all night if they were brought before the korban tamid shel ben arba'im. All right. So if things are brought before the korban tamid shel ben arba'im, the fats can be burnt all night, even after the korban tamid shel ben arba'im. It just can't be slaughtered after the korban tamid shel ben arba'im. Rami le Rav Safra le Rav. So Rav Safra posed a different contradiction to Rav. K'tiv lo yalin leboker zevach chag ha-pesach. It says you're not allowed to leave over the remains of the upper korban pesach leboker hu lo yalin hakol lai lo yalin. So you're not allowed to leave it over until the morning. However, at night it can be left over all night. V'achdiv olat shabbat b'shabbato. But isn't it written explicitly elsewhere that the olav shabbat is done on Shabbat v'lo olat chol b'shabbat? And you're not allowed to burn up parts of the weekday offering on Shabbat, and you're not allowed to burn up parts of the weekday ola on Yom Tov, right? So Amar Le Kvar Rami Nihale Rav Abba Bar Chia L'Rabbi Abba. So this contradiction was already posed. V'shani La, what did he teach about it? Ha'chabar Ba Asar Shechaliot B'Shabbat. You know, we're talking about when the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbat. The Chal V'Shabbat craving B'Yom Tov. In such a case, the fats So the fats from the korban on Shabbat can be burnt up on Yom Tov on Pesach. Amar le mishum dechalvei Shabbat kriven biyom Tov. So one second, just because chalvei Shabbat, just because the fats of the korban on Shabbat can be burnt on Yom Tov, anan neku v'neima le dehai kirab arbasar shechaliot b'Shabbat hu dichtiv. So that's going to tell us that this whole pasuk, which is talking about which I brought up, which would seem to indicate that you are burning a korban at its inappropriate time, right? So, okay, so we know that you're allowed to burn the korban of Shabbat on Yom Tov. You're allowed to burn up the excess limbs on Yom Tov, right? So because that is a case that exists, so I'm going to assume this whole pasuk is only talking about one obscure case where you have to burn, where Shabbat falls out on the 14th of Nisan, you have to burn up its fats on Yom Tov. Amar le shavki likra dehu dachik umoki anavshe. Says, well, you know, leave the pasuk alone. It itself is very difficult to understand, and it's very, very dachik case. And the only possible explanation is that this is what it's talking about. So don't, you know, there's really nothing else we can do with that pasuk unless we assume that it's talking about a case where you're burning it up, where you're burning up the Shabbat offering on Yom Tov, because it's the case where Shabbat fell out on Erev Pesach, and there's just no other interpretation for this pasuk. We'll stop here.